When I was coming in this morning, Mike said, "Are you preaching this morning?" I said, "I should be." And we said, "We're all right. We'll keep the music on till 5 to 12. He's gone now, is he? He's there. Good to be here. Christmas is in many ways, it's a strange time, I think. It's some years ago now, I was asked to preach at a Christmas Day service. And I started with the Gollywobbles when the guy asked me. And I said, "Well, look, I don't really think I'm up to this." I said, "You know, I think you can do better than this, you know." "Oh, no," he said, "no." He said, "It doesn't matter, Christmas." He said, "Nobody takes any notice, any case, Jim." I think the Lord was in it because I was ill that Christmas. But it really has stuck with me over the years, because so often this is our attitude to Christmas. We've slipped into the world's mode. I want to read from Luke's Gospel. We've probably heard it several times this Christmas. Let's read it again. Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them." Father, we thank you for your word. Just pray this morning, Lord, that you'll speak to each one of us. Grant, Lord, that we might be able to unburden some of the pressures that we put ourselves under at this time of the year. Grant, O Father God, that we might lay it aside, and that this morning we might have an experience of stepping into the very Holy of Holies. Come, we pray this morning. Give us a new manifestation of you, of your love, and of the Lord Jesus. And grant, Lord, that if we leave this place this morning, we shall go as changed people because we've been with God. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Advent, we hear all about it. The definition is it's approach of an important arrival or event. And I don't know about you, but it seems to me that it comes earlier every year. I think we kicked off about the end of September this year. That's when I saw the first signs of Christmas. I remember being on holiday a couple of years ago in Greece, and Christmas cards were on sale, and it was June. And I said to the guy, are these next year's or last year's? But he wasn't worried as long as he could sell them. But this is where we've got to with Christmas. We get the panic music, and I understand from the figures I've picked up on the internet that the average spending is about £600 per head. Well, if that's true, folks, somebody spent mine. We are celebrating the greatest intervention by God into mankind. We talk about Xmas. We've taken Jesus out of Christmas in so many ways. And as Christians, it's so easy for us to get swept along with the world. I find it's a bit easier to talk like this when you get that little bit older than when you've got two or three children in the house. But folks, I believe that in these days we should be coming to that place where we're really seeking something of Jesus to come back into Christmas in a big way. We prepare for it. We prepare for the great event, and it comes. And no doubt over the weeks we've been preparing for Christmas, remembering the birth of Christ. As far as I'm concerned, it was the greatest intervention by God since the flood. Great things have happened, but this was the greatest intervention. But you know, there's another event going to come, because he's coming again. There's a second coming. It's prophesied. Shown in Scripture, it's prophesied. And we get prophets even today talking about it. Friends, we don't speak about it. We don't preach much about it. But do we believe it? Jesus is coming again. And I believe it's something that we need to hang on to, and it's something that we need to get back to preaching. These shepherds got that vision of the angels, that visitation from the angels. And what did the shepherds do about it? They could have left it where it was, but they acted on the revelation that was given to them. Folks, if we start to act on revelation, we can't lose, because it's not us, it's him. Or are we in these days acting on revelation or perspiration or frustration? Where are we? God wants to use us. God wants to bless us. I believe God has got more for us than ever we've yet experienced. There's not many of you seem to join with me on that, but I believe it's a truth. Friends, we need to get back to where God wants us to be. You see, God never leaves us. He's with us all the time. And he's just as great today as he was when Jesus was born. Many Christian people have experienced God in mighty ways. A lot of people don't realize that the jam jar that's on a lot of our kitchen tables, Hartley's jam. Hartley was a Lancashire lad. He started to make jam in his mother's kitchen and started to sell it. And the first lot of jam that he sold, you know what he did? He took 10% of it, of the profit, and took it to the chapel. And Hartley did that for the whole of his life. He became a multi-millionaire, one of the richest men in Britain, a great philanthropist. Why? Because God was with him and God was in him. You see, I believe that God wants to reveal more of his ways. He wants to prove himself to us. And I believe this is a time to do it at Christmas. A guy who I've quoted before, John, worked a lot for that man. He pulled me aside one Sunday. He'd been out of work. He was making just a living. And he said, "I believe God wants me to set up a business." I said, "You're bonkers, pal." I said, "In this economic climate, this is no time to start business." He said, "But I believe this is what God wants me to do." I said, "If you believe God wants you to do it, you've got to do it." And he did. And he'd not been in business long before they moved house. He went into a bigger house. And he phoned me one day and he said, "I want you to come," he said, with the girls, he said, "and Margaret." He said, "and bring your swimming tackle." I said, "What for?" "Well," he said, "we've got a swimming pool now." This is the guy who had said it would never happen. Only less than 2 years ago, I'd said it'll fail. But God was in it. And friends, I believe we need to come to that place where as Christians, we're living again by revelation. Letting God show us the way. Moses with the tabernacle. If we went into the book of Exodus, we read there, Moses built the tabernacle. That word keeps coming through in Exodus. As the Lord had commanded Moses, as the Lord had commanded Moses, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And as Moses acted on what God had told him to do, the people went with him. And friends, when God's in it, we can't fail. Hallelujah. Those people went and did what Moses asked them to do. Moses did what God asked him to do. They believed, they acted. Friends, the Christian church cannot survive on good ideas. The Christian church can only survive when we get back to the Bible basics. Good ideas are cheap and they're okay for a time. But friends, I believe that we need to seek the revelation and from God and act upon it. To the shepherds on the hillside, it must have been crazy. An angel comes. What are they going to do? They're in isolation. But they acted on the revelation that God had given them. And they're the first recorded visitors to the Christ child. What a privileged position. Friends, we're coming to the end of 1 year. Let's determine that this next year we're going to seek revelation and we're going to act upon it. Seek God's revelation. Involved in some encouraging church activities, and I was on a high, and this godly man came to me and put his hand upon me. He said, "It's great, isn't it, Jim? Oh, you know." And then he said, "Don't forget," said, "that Lord honours faith but delights in obedience." It's over 50 years since that guy said that to me, but I've never forgotten it. The Lord honours faith and delights in obedience. Let's come to that place this Christmas time where we look for Jesus again. Where we look not just for him, but for his revelation. Start to act upon it. And friends, there's one thing I can guarantee this morning, that if we do, we will be blessed. And we will see success, because it's his will, not ours. They went and they acted on revelation, but also I believe that they testified to the event. In that verse 17, "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the Christ child." Widely known. Jesus was in the house. Friends, when Jesus is in a place, people get to know. When we turn into the New Testament, in Mark's Gospel, I've spoken on this before. He said he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was noised abroad that he was in the house. You see, when Jesus is present, people get to know, because things change. This might be fundamental, basic teaching that we're talking about this morning, but it's so important. Jesus in the boat in Mark's Gospel. Friends, God is wanting to come and do something amongst us in these days. Miracles in the fellowship of the church. should be testified to. I don't care if you're testifying to being healed from cancer or from an ingrowing toenail. If God's done it, tell somebody about it. Let's start to broadcast what Jesus can do and what Jesus is doing. You see, I don't believe that we're just in a situation where nothing's happening. I believe we're in a situation where things are happening, but we're not talking about it. And we're not giving him the glory, and we should be. The world thinks that God is dead. We don't believe it. If we did, we wouldn't be here this morning. We sit on our testimonies. When God is at work, he builds up, he edifies, he encourages. When did we last testify to something God has done? Friends, if we really believed it was God, we couldn't keep quiet. Because our God is an awesome God. Look at our lives. Look at where we've come from. Healings, deliverance, salvation. But God has brought us through from a place of loss, a place of condemnation, and brought us through to a place of victory and deliverance. Because he's a mighty God. The guy working at our house a few days ago, I've known him a long time, but I'd only heard part of this testimony. I know that his wife had been seriously ill at one point, and I know the guy who went and prayed for her. Went to Wigan Infirmary, and the nurse that was dealing with her just sort of shooed him away until eventually the nurse said to him, "Okay, pray." And he started to pray. He was with them. Her husband was with them. He said, and she sank back into the pillow. She then fell fast asleep. And she's living today to tell the story. That's our God. This is what our God can do. Many of us have got testimonies of healings, of provision. Some of us went on a missions trip to the Philippines some years ago. I'd just finished work. Our finances were upside down. And they said, we want you to come. I said, well, you know. The bloke put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "Have faith, Jim." So I thought, well, I can't do anything else. This guy's driven me into a corner. So I put my name down. I didn't know where the money was coming from. I said, well, we've got to believe God. A couple of weeks went by and I got a phone call. This guy said, "Do you remember that sick club thing that we used to pay in at Horwich for the old L&Y railway?" I said, "Yes, I remember it. It was a few coppers a week." Well, he said, "It's closed." He said, and I've got a check here for you. They've done a payout. We expected a pound or two. It covered the cost of the trip to the Philippines. This is our God. Let's talk about it. What God's doing. Verse 18, it talks there and it said, people marveled. There's so many of us, you know, the same yesterday, today and forever. I think I've quoted him before, a work colleague. He was a good guy, but he was a bit miserable. And every time he spoke to him, it was the same thing. I didn't see him for over 10 years. And then I saw him on Birmingham New Street Station one day. I was with somebody else. I said, I must go and see him. I said, I've not seen him for three or four years now. I said, now I'll tell you what he says. He said, what? I said, I'm going to say to him, now, how's things, Alan? He said, and what's he going to say? Oh, pressing on rewardless. So I went across the station and I said to Alan, now, Alan, how are we doing? Pressing on rewardless. And he's been pressing on rewardless for the best part of 40 years. And this is where some of us are as Christians. We're pressing on rewardless. Folks, God doesn't want us to press on rewardless. God wants us to be going forward in the things of God. These disciples, you know, they talked about what God was doing and people marveled, it said. Not yesterday, the same yesterday, today and forever. We're not a bunch of nobodies. Start to testify to what God has done and what he's doing and what we're expecting him to do. Let's get a positivity about it and give him the glory. Because you see, this incident glorified God, didn't it? It was fresh in these people's experience. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says, the chief end of man is to glorify God. That's a challenge to us. Are we glorifying God today? Christmas is full of the world. But God is glorified when lives are taken over by him. Salvation glorifies him. We can glorify him today through our salvation. Christmas is all about salvation. Luke 15, joy in the heavens over one sinner who repents. This is it. God is ready to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. He wants to revive us, folks. He doesn't want us just to wander on like this. He wants to come by the power of the Holy Ghost and do something with us and for us and change us. And friends, I'd heard to stand on this platform this morning and say that when he does, those people out there will notice. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wondrous compassion and purity. All thou spirit divine. All my nature refine. Till the beauty of Jesus is seen in me. God's ready. Joel 2 and verse 25. To restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Lord, I want you to come again. I want this Christmas to be special. I want to return to my first love. He came to the lowly. He manifested his glory. He revealed his purpose and he gave us some insight into his majesty. The shepherds went, they acted on what was revealed to them. Is it enough just knowing about the shepherds and the stable? Or should we in that place where we're knowing more of the great shepherd of the sheep? Knowing something about the glory of the angel, or experiencing the touch of Jesus upon our lives? Are we ready and thirsty? Are we willing to let the glory of the Lord descend and transform our very beings? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men. Don't let's talk about it. Let's experience it. Let God touch us today. God is ready, I believe, to do a new thing in these days. Don't put it on the back burner because it's Christmas. I may have mentioned before, I don't know whether I've mentioned it this morning or not, but Eubel, born one of the founders of the Primitive Methodist Church, he went for a walk on Sunday morning, walking to a chapel to take a meeting. And he met this man, Daniel Shoebotham. Christmas morning, they're walking together. Born, talked to Shoebotham. Shoebotham got wonderfully converted on the road on Christmas morning and became one of the leaders of one of the great movements that moved through our nation. It was Christmas. You don't do things like that at Christmas. We're too taken up with the things. God's ready and willing. Are we prepared? One of our daughters is named Catherine, after Catherine Kuhlman, who blessed us, both Margaret and me, in those days. Catherine Kuhlman used to sing a song. I won't sing it for you. He touched me. And all the joy that filled my soul. Something happened. Now I know. He touched me. And made me whole. Let's pray for one another this morning. Let's expect God to come and touch us again. And friends, if we do, this can be the best Christmas ever, because he will be exalted. Souls will be saved. Lives will be changed. Wonderful Jesus.